And gosh, I'm trying to think where I want to start. I'm going to start with a story. My grandmother's in heaven right now. I have two grandmothers in heaven, but one recently passed in the last couple years. If you guys remember Ruth Cashman, she is because she's in heaven now, so she still is the most vivacious, driven woman you'd ever meet. I mean driven like that. She'd get out of bed and she was on a mission. And I learned a lot from her. She was a gifted gardener and truly brilliant. I love to read, and we would borrow/steal books from Grandma's library all the time, and a gifted evangelist. And she just loved to tell people about Jesus. There was a drive that everyone would know Jesus and lived a healed life. And I'll tell you, like I said, she just had a drive. And my grandma loved to play games. And it didn't matter how old you were, she was going to give you a run for the money. She just wasn't going to let you win. If it was Candyland or Uno, Grandma was all in it. And I learned from her to not cheat. You know, it was never worth cheating, to be excellent, to be all in what you do. And like I said, I was just thinking about her, and she really just tried to represent Jesus. Like, she tried to, when we go to the store or wherever we go, she looked at people with an eternal mindset. She really wanted to think about where they were going to spend eternity. And I don't think anybody left Grandma's presence without her telling them about Jesus or sharing a story. And, you know, sometimes you're a little kid, you get a little embarrassed. And after a while, you go, you know, this is just the life. This is just the life. And, you know, gosh, she passed away at the age of 96. And, I mean, just strong as an ox. Like, just she'd go for her walks and eat her greens every day. But there was an interesting season towards the end that I started noticing. And it was after my grandfather, we used to call him Pop, passed away. I mean, her heart just broke. That was her best friend, her partner in life, man. And they balanced each other out. They would tag team on stuff. And I think she just kind of just started to lose her drive. I just started seeing her slowing down. It just affected her in a different way. And now on the outside, Grandma looked, and you knew her in this season. I mean, she looked like she was in great health and active and really sharp, you know, a little hard of hearing every once in a while. But, you know, when I'd be around her, I just noticed something was different in her later years. Something was just off. And when you'd ask my grandmother, because on the outside, she looked fine. You know, like I said, she was strong and healthy. But when you asked her, hey, Ruth, how you doing? Or, hey, Grandma, how you doing? This was an interesting thing she kept saying over and over again, I'd say in the last 2 years of her life. She'd just say this. She goes, you know, I just don't seem to have an appetite anymore. I don't know. I'm just not hungry. It was just interesting. She didn't really have anything. She was in perfect health. But that was what she, Grandma, how you doing? And she just kept saying this over and over again. And, you know, it's a little concern. And by the way, if you remember, my family is a family of great cooks. Like, we love good food. So every family event, I mean, we had good food. So even if I came to that event and I had just eaten first lunch, I mean, I was going to eat second lunch. I was going to dig in. I didn't care if I was hungry or not what I was going to eat, because I didn't want the opportunity to eat some really good food pass me by. And I'm still, you know, eating for two, whatever, eating for one. I didn't care. If there's good food, I'm going to eat it. But with Grandma, it didn't matter if, you know, Michael had smoked some ribs on the grill. Yes, we're going to get hungry, okay? or you know, make a pie, and we put it in front of her. And she would just nibble, take a couple bites. And with a sigh, she'd say, you know, I just don't have an appetite these days. Just really not hungry. And you know, I was concerned because you can't make somebody eat. You can't make somebody eat. So we think, okay, what can we inspire Grandma to eat? And we kept telling her, I'm just going to tell you. I said, Grandma, it doesn't matter if you're hungry or not. You got to eat. You just got to, you know, you eat because it's time to eat. Grandma, I said, and you know, by the way, if you've ever been through a really hard emotional time, it's hard to eat, you know, especially in the loss of a loved one. Or just any sort of loss. I get that emotions, you kind of forget to eat. And I went through a season, just a traumatic season in my life. And yeah, you know, you didn't even think about eating. So what'd you have to do to keep up your health and your strength? You set an alarm and you go, you know, it's breakfast. It's breakfast time. I'm not hungry, but I'm going to eat, right? Because I got to keep my strength, you know, and then it'd be lunchtime. You know what? I'm going to eat. And, you know, for some people that, you know, nowadays they talk about eating little bites throughout the day, but you got to, you know, appetite or not, you got to feed yourself. So Where do I want to go with this? Let me see here. Lack of hunger is normally a sign of a waning health, right? If you work with elderly or anyone, if they are not hungry, it's normally a sign that there is a physical sickness possibly going on in their body, or maybe for this, they're going through an emotionally hard time. And grandma started to show signs of both of these. But it looked on the outside, just wasn't hungry. And so this is my analogy. I want to go into this. It's important to recognize in ourselves, because we all go through seasons of going through a season of a lack of hunger. And I'm talking about a lack of spiritual hunger. We want to have an insatiable hunger for God's word, but you got to be honest sometimes. This isn't a church that I need your right answer. I don't do that in youth group. We're not going to grow. Don't tell me the right answer. Tell me honestly, how you doing? And my grandma just said, I'm just not hungry. And it's good to be honest of where your heart's at. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? Because if we're honest with some of these symptoms, we can start rallying around each other to stir up a healthy hunger. Stir up a healthy hunger for God's word, for his presence, to worship. Man, you get around someone there's some people in our church, and I could do some shout outs right now. But man, if you want to inspire yourself to worship, go worship by them. You know what I mean? They hunger to worship. And you're like, maybe you don't feel like that's your thing, but you get around them and you go, man, there's more though. They're tapping into a place of more, and there's more, and I'm hungry for more. And like I said, as a pastor, I get concerns when I talked about someone, and not about someone, but to someone, hey, how you doing? And they just kind of, small talking it. And I'm like, okay, so they're dodging. Okay, how you really doing? And then they tell you, good, 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 blah, blah, blah. And then I go, hey, where are you reading these days? My dad used to do this, right, Brenton? He'd call you up. He'd call you up at what, like 5:30 in the morning? What time? Now, you're an early bird, but... Right, just super early in the morning. I remember my dad calling you really early in the morning, and he'd be like, hey, man of God, what's the word for the day? And I remember people talking to me like, you know what? I wouldn't call him back. I'd let go to voicemail because I knew he was going to call, and I'd go get in the word so I'd have something to say. And that's okay. Truly, you know what? It was to inspire, and he didn't talk like you weren't, right? He talked to you in faith because, there's always something stirring on the inside. Just got to get something stirring on the inside. But I do get concerned when people, and just don't worry about excuses. Just say, you know what? I'm not there, but I'm going to work on it. It's okay, right? Come on, guys. There are different seasons that we have. And I found with the idol in my life, and I've confessed, I'm doing a study on idolatry, was busyness. I love Jesus. I'm a mess without him. I fall apart without him. But when you're so busy, you're just getting little bites. I think as a mom, sometimes I'm eating some of Zeke's food, I hate wasting food. I'm ridiculous. My grandma hated wasting food. And Brad, you're gonna eat that? Just take little bites, right? But when you're really busy, sometimes it's hard to feast. And so I just, like I said, just confession as a pastor. What am I trying to do? Brad and I had to we had kind of prayed about stuff, and our weekend filled up really, really fast. And there was just too much going on Sunday. And Sunday is minister on Sunday. I try to rest on Sunday, and really my Sunday's Monday. And I was like, honey, let's just pray about it. I don't think we can do all this. God's convicting my heart. We need to slow down. And we had to just say no to something that we really, really wanted to do. And yes, we disappointed someone. Now, we didn't say yes first and bail out, but we just need to slow down a little bit. Why? So you can take a nap. Number one, come on. All right. And so I can just open up the word, or I can, just be around my house and just get quiet and just talk to Jesus. I talk to Jesus while I do laundry, and, I just need to slow down. And what? Feast. Fast food's not a feast. I like me some Burger King. I preached on it, okay? But it's not a feast. A feast is what? Going to someone's house, and you see this whole spread, and you sit, and we're going to eat. I mean, not just little bites. I mean, we're going to sit down and fill up the plate and, go for a second. We're going to feast, and we have to create time to feast on the word of God. 1 John 5:21, and I dug into this real deep, and I just, for the sake of time, I won't, but you can listen to some previous messages, and they're vulnerable. I'm not preaching at you. I'm going, man, I realized I had some idols in my life. And sometimes you got to clean the closet. So 1 John 5:21 Amplified defines an idol as this: keep yourselves from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God. He wants to be first place. From any sort of, this is interesting, any sort of substitute for him that would take first place in your life. What does that mean? I have a bad day, what's my go-to? If it's a person, if it's a place, if it's a thing, if it's a substance, even a good thing. I have a bad day, I just got to get to the gym. Oh, I just got to get to the gym. I got to work out for 5 hours and eat a carrot stick. I got to get to the gym. You know, you're going to get a lot of woo-hoo, good for you. You know, but we can't hide behind healthy things in the world. And it's just a mask to disguise, I'm just not doing good on the inside. And what I really need to do is talk to God about it. You know, or you know, I don't feel good about myself. You know, I just feel like I don't feel good about who I am. So I need to go do all these different charitable causes. And really I'm hiding by doing good works when really I just need to hang out with him and let him heal my heart and my identity. So, you know, I was just chewing on some things with God. And he showed me, he says, Sherry, you know, some of these idols in your life, they're good things. Like I told Brad, it's like, I just go down the rabbit hole of trying to research on how to be a better mom and cook better and this better and that better, you know, just stuff. And it's just junk food. Yeah, listen, I confess, I love Doritos. I love me some Doritos, okay? And I'll eat all, and I don't, you know, the stupid portion control, what's up with the portion control bag? There's like 4 chips in there. So like at youth group, if we're gonna eat Doritos, I gotta grab like 4 bags of chips. This is stupid, okay? Give me the big ol', I'll take the family size. I got a family right here. I'm gonna feed the family. You know, I love me some junk food. But here's the catch, junk food was actually created to not satisfy you. I watch a lot of food documentaries. I know, whatever. Okay. But they put stuff in there, these different, you know, chemicals and, you know, whatever. I love me some chemicals. It tastes good. But they put stuff in there to cause these like things to, you know, fireworks in your brain of, yes, this is awesome, but you're never satisfied. And it physically, after you eat a whole bag of Doritos, you get physically full, but you're not satisfied. You don't really feel good. In the moment felt good, right? Okay. But then if someone comes over or you're going over to someone's house, because I get hungry, you know, and I was like, oh no, I snack too much. And they serve up a mixed field green salad with a slab of salmon on there with like, you know, like that maple syrup kind of, you know, little marinade. But I'm probably not going to be ready for this, hungry for it. I know it's good for me, but I got full of the junk. So yes, I do food analogies because you know it translates. Jesus did too, okay? So what I'm working on right now, and Brad is holding me, I just talked to Brad about it, you know, because come on, there are days we bomb. They're just the distraction days where I went to spend time with God and 4 hours later I'm still researching something dumb online, you know? And I really just had a great time with the Lord yesterday where I just my heart cried out to God. I said, God, I'm getting so distracted with these good things, but they're not the God thing. And I need to take more time to feast in your presence and in your word. And so how do you, just number one, like how do you get more spiritual hunger? And I'm gonna talk about it, but I just wanna encourage us, go into just a basic fast of the distractions. Fasting. I'd say the most productive thing you can do for spiritual hunger is fast media. You know, Brad and I like to pop a big bowl of popcorn and watch a fun movie. You know, that's okay. But do we need to watch 2 back-to-back? You know, like, it just these moments of like, God, you know, just the things that distract me, the things, maybe I need to plug my phone in the other room. You know, maybe ready for this. And this is my big thing to a lot of our church. We just need to clear our weekend and just say no. And say, hey, we're going to have a staycation. I need to rest my physical body. You know what? I need to like hang out with my family a little bit, and you know we're gonna just go for a hike, or we're just gonna stay in, and we're just gonna have some time with the Lord and reorient. For what's our direction for our family this year? God, what are you calling us to do? Do we need to do 20,000 different sports? Get quiet. Because how we know we can run ourselves raw just trying to get everything done, but really pray as a family, as a marriage, or just as a person. Because I live most of my life single, and I like to stay busy because it gets me out of my head. Of like, God, what are you calling me to do? And God is always saying this, what, rest and rest with me, and then go do the works of Jesus. But we're going to have to create space for it. So today I'm talking about spiritual hunger, the hunger game, okay? And here's my challenging thought. The most challenging part, I'd say one of the most challenging things of being a Christian, is to be full, but stay hungry. Now this is kind of, it sounds like a contradiction, but remember, hunger is a sign of spiritual health, right? So you know, if your kid, all of a sudden, you know, you go to a doctor and, you know, my kid's a little bit off and they say, are they eating? Do they have an appetite? So it's a concern if we aren't hungry for more of God. Hungry for more worship, hungry for more time in the Word, hungry for more Christian fellowship. That's a concern we've talked about in the past. You know, people don't want to connect with people. I have my Us Four and No More friends. You know, we've been doing the same thing for 20 years. We got no time. I don't got new time because I got the people I always hang out with. We do this thing every Friday night. I can't go to worship night at the church because I do this thing every Friday night. And I want to go, okay, I'm not here to judge you, but are you taking anybody with you in the things of the Lord? Because I'm not judging that they're not spending time with the Lord, but they're not taking anybody with them. And we are called to what? Go into all the world and create disciples and create new connections. Are we hungry for Christian fellowship? Are we hungry for worship? Are we hungry for the Word? And if we're not, I told my grandma this, sometimes you just got to eat. That's what I realized, the talk of the Lord. I was like, you know, I just got to make myself eat. It's time to eat. And it's time to eat something good. Because what you feed on is what you will develop your appetite for. What you feed on is ultimately what you will hunger for. So if you want to change your appetite, you have to change, and it doesn't happen overnight, what you're feeding on. So here, I'll go back to this thought. One of the greatest challenges of the Christian life is to live a life that is full, because God does want to bless you, right? God, he loves you. And part of that blessing is a sense of what? Fulfillment. My fulfillment is in him. I am healed and whole in him. Man, God healed, restored my marriage. God, you know, brought my child back home. And now we have a relationship better than ever. And all of a sudden, what? My life is full. Because it's not, I'm always not always talking about the money, right? But that's, you know, God wants you to not live in debt. He wants you to have enough to go help someone else, right? If you can't pay your bills, and then there's someone that God says, hey, there's a single parent that's really struggling, and I want you to, you know what? Why don't you go take that child back to school shopping? But if you can't, do you hear me? Like, God wants you blessed and taken care of so you can what? Help take care of others. He doesn't want the blessing to stop with you. Right? He wants it to start with you and flow out. Okay, so a full life is what? Ultimate fulfillment in my heart. Jesus fills me all in all. My purpose, my satisfaction is just to be with him. Right? And then there's these physical things, you know, like, you know, there's sometimes the stuff, and as long as the stuff doesn't have me, we're okay. How do I maintain a life of fullness, but I'm still hungry for more? Now you guys follow me. More of God, more of him, more of his word. Because the more full we are, sometimes we stop to lose the drive for more of him. So to maintain spiritual hunger, it requires, number one, humility. Because you need to know, I need him. No matter how full my life is, no matter how good, no matter how good the relationships are, no matter how things are just kind of working out, I need Jesus. And that requires humility. And also requires maturity. Because to maintain hunger for God, you're going to need a mature relationship that says there is always more. So the natural human body gets hungry by not eating, right? But the spiritual man, our spirit, who God has created us to be, in the kingdom of God, from a spiritual perspective, to maintain hunger and get hungry, you need to eat. Remember I told Grandma, even if you're not hungry, you just gotta eat. Just eat throughout the day. Eat throughout the day. So 1 Peter 2:2, and I have a really deep place I want to go, but I want to get this foundation here, says this, like newborn babies who crave and thirst and earnestly desire and long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you what be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation and its ultimate fulfillment. The milk of the word, man, you know, you want to get Zeke really happy. Oh, you just give him a milk. Oh my gosh, you know, he just loves it. Why? It nourishes, it helps us grow. And what? It fulfills us, okay? Humility is required to maintain spiritual hunger. You need to admit, I need Jesus and I need more of him. I need more of his word. And spiritual maturity is sustained by spiritual hunger. A lot of people think that they are spiritually mature, but they're so full of the goodness that they're not hungry anymore. And apathy sets in. And then I say this, the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You can quote all those scriptures, but when was the last time you sat in and feasted on it and then called somebody up because you got so full and so excited, you're like, man, this word's for you. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the, ready? Spiritually mature, whose senses are trained by practice. That means you got to practice what you preach to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil. Okay, so the word of God, the presence of God, it's just the things of the Lord, the fellowship that we're called, because he is where two or more are gathered together in his name. We need more of it. And we're going to need to create a space for it. That means I can be full of the goodness of God, the fulfillment of God, but I always need more of him. And that's when you know you're humble. I need him. And that's when you know that you're mature. And not the, yeah, what are you reading? Oh, you know, I know all the gospel. I know all the stories about Jesus. I can read a scripture because I kind of know the book. I got it memorized. That's what a sign, lack of hunger is a sign of spiritually unhealthy. And I just say this, what I found out is like sometimes we're just caught up in the grind. We just go, 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 go. And that's the world's way, the world system. And we got to go higher. God's been just drawing me. And like I said, I'm not preaching at you. I'm convicted. I need to what? Fast some things out of my life and ask God, God, these were good things. These were things you called me to do in the past. But this, what are you calling me to do in the now? And I hunger for more of you. So where do we start to get more hunger for God? Because remember, I was like, Grandma, you just got to eat. You just got to eat. So, I taught on it. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But fast those idols. Fast those things that you go to, the good things. The good things. Even like the stuff that God says that you should do. But if you're going to it to feel good about yourself on a bad day or you're just being distracted by it, it's an idol. And what you feed on is what you hunger for. So starve out the idols. I'm just saying, just take, like there are things that we love and they're good things. And they're actually things that will reach other people. Listen, it's great. Landon goes fishing. I think it's awesome. I'm going to have Zeke go fishing because I want him to have that experience because Brad and I grew up with those things. We don't like fishing, but it's in the Bible. Jesus fished. I don't know. It's a great thing. Fill my freezer. And it's a good way to connect and bond with other people, right? Maybe people who don't know Jesus, you can go and on the drive because you don't want to scare the fish. I do know a thing or two, share your story. Like there are good things in our life, but they're never supposed to replace him. All right. Hebrews 12:1-2. This is Amplified. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because what we're cheering each other on is a church for greater hunger. All right, and it says this, stripping off, throwing off every unnecessary weight that slows us down. And the sins which so easily and cleverly entangle us, they trip us up. Let us run with endurance, the active persistence, the race that is set before us. Okay. Marathons, apparently some people like running. I'm not into running. But people that like running, they like marathons. Why? Because we're all running with a bunch of people. And when you get tired and slow down, you're come on and rally each other, right? We're in this marathon race called life. And we are to rally around each other. And just be honest, I'm kind of losing my hunger right now. I'm just so busy. I'm just so tired. I don't really feel like going to the grow group. I don't feel like going to the church event. And I'm just being honest. And then your friend's going to say, hey, you know what? Let's hold each other accountable. Let's meet once a week for breakfast and let's just stir each other up. Let's just share what we're in the word about. Let's share what God's doing in our lives. Let's just connect and rally. We're going to stir each other up. We got things that like settle in the bottom of our hearts sometimes. The Bible talks about to stir, I'll talk about it later in 2 Timothy, to stir up the flames of your heart. If you have an old campfire, you're going to have to dig deep to get those embers going and you got to feed it. You got to feed it. You got to feed the fire. You got to kindle it up and you got to stir it up and take some effort and take some choice. And that's how we get the burn. Now, I want to talk about this. Verse 2 says this, looking away from all that will already distract us, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. And it says, and he brings our faith to maturity. What is maturity? It's hunger. What does it take to maintain hunger, maturity, and humility. So if there's a weak area in my life, I'm going to experience a loss where it really shook you, shook how you believed, shook how you saw life. I lost my father to brain cancer. It was awful. It was horrifying. It was super traumatic. And it shook my heart, shook my faith for healing. I had to feed and chose to eat on scriptures about who Jesus was, the healer, the restorer, the redeemer. I had to read the gospels and watch just how Jesus healed. It was his will to heal, that every person that went to Jesus, he didn't withhold that. I had to go read the Acts of the Apostles and see, wow, these people that walk with Jesus and love Jesus, man, they did the stuff that Jesus did. And Jesus was the healer. I had to choose to feed on a broken area of my life to restore what? Faith and hunger. Anybody have weak areas in your life? Maybe it's a financial, like when finances and bills come in, it just shakes you to the core. Maybe it's a health fear. Maybe it's just, you know, relational stuff. Maybe it's the fear of being alone the rest of your life. You have to feed on the faithfulness of God. And I would go out of my way to find and hear testimonies of healing. And if you're like shaking in your faith on like an area, you've gotten a doctor's report and you're scared, I'll encourage you some great teachings, but also send you to some great people in this church that fought the fight and won. Man, kick cancer by the power of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have some ones in the youth group. I won't call people out, but Gavin had a great healing testimony. It was just awesome of God healing his heart, but it was over a course of time. And man, God used doctors and Jesus did powerful things. But these stories that you share, when someone wants to share with the youth group, absolutely, what does it do? Because we're going to feed on the faithfulness of God in these weak areas of our life. And sometimes it's just apathy, guys. Sometimes we're just, what? We've just gone through the motions. And it says this in Revelation 12, 11, it says, they overcame, they conquered. And I'll say this, apathy. How do you conquer apathy? Ready? By the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Your testimony is just your story. And my dad, when he was alive, he was always giving me books, and grandma gave me books of these wild stories of like missionaries and men and women of God that went into broken places in this world and turned the world upside down. Did you ever hear the story of Corrie Ten Boom? I could cry if I shared her story. They were rescuing children and babies before the Nazis got them. And hear me on this one. And then her family got caught and they all got sent to a concentration camp. She lost every person in her family, saw the horrors of abuse. And God rescued her and healed her. And I can't imagine all the trauma she'd been through and seen. And taught her how to forgive so she could move forward and tell people about Jesus. And I never forgot the story about how she saw a Nazi soldier that had abused her sister in a concentration camp. Why she was preaching the gospel. And the Lord, and she was angry. And she saw him and the Lord said, can you forgive him? She didn't want to. He said, I need you to forgive him for your own sake, for your heart. And these are the stories that I go, and if anybody's ever suffered abuse, you know, sometimes you got to read a story of someone that has overcome something to give you hope that I can have healing in my heart and I can move forward, that trauma and that abuse doesn't define who I am. There is something about asking people what their story is. And I want to encourage you this, and it comes through fellowship. You're going to have to sit with some different people, and you're going to have to go to some events, you know, and invite people over and ask them what their story is. And it will stir because you're going to feed on the faithfulness of God. And you'll start to hunger because God doesn't play favorites. And if he set you free, if he healed you, if he healed your marriage, if he restored your mental health, man, if he could do that for you, he can do that for me. I'm ready for this, or he can use me to do that for someone else. If you're not hungry, you just got to eat. If you're not hungry, you just got to eat and just fill up your plate on the good stuff. The word of God, what, and the power of testimonies. And I'm telling you, go to the bookstore and just say, hey, I need a book that's just going to stir me. And like I said, some are in other countries, some are in the United States, where just cities have just been turned upside down. And there's being healing and restoration, and God's moving through the people that are hungry. Right, Jerrell? Feed the hungry, man. You'll get hungry for more of the works of Jesus as you see lives transform. Go serve in another ministry. Psalms 37, verse 3 says, trust, rely on, have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. We sing songs about faithfulness. God commands us in the word to feed on the faithfulness of God. And if you feel like God hasn't been faithful to you, just give him enough time. Normally it doesn't work out the way that we wanted it or in the timing, but tell you what, feed on the faithfulness of how God's been faithful in someone else's life. And then finally, he'll probably start showing you how he has been faithful in your life. Feed on the faithfulness of God. Meditate it. Chew on it. Otherwise, we're going to feed on the what ifs and our insecurities and our worries or the judgment and the criticism, the frustration and people staying. We're going to feed on. What are we feeding on? The junk? I'm going to have to choose to eat. You ever get around someone and they're just so negative about everything and all they talk about is negative and all they do is judge people and complain and heck, they'll hide behind religion and the world's going to hell in a handbasket. They are feeding on junk because it's not the heart of Jesus. Jesus didn't talk about all that. He saw the broken world and yes, he cried over it. He wept, but then he was what inspired and stirred to go release love, joy, peace, healing, unity. Help people forgive themselves and each other. And these are things we got to feed on. But I'm not hungry. It's okay. Thank you for being honest. We all go through those seasons. But let's choose to eat. Deuteronomy 8:3 says this. He says, he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Okay, now this is going to be conceptual. You guys ready to go a little deep? We're going to go a little deep, okay? He humbled you and allowed you to hunger and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. This is referring into the Old Testament when the children of Israel were freed from the Egyptian slavery. They're in the wilderness and they're hungry. And God fed them with, I don't know, honeycomb cereal. Fell from the sky. I don't know. Okay? And they would what? Every day they would gather it and they would eat. They didn't know what it was. Now, this is interesting, but it did say in the Bible that if they decided that they were above gathering every day, they got proud or they just got lazy and they thought, oh, you know, I'll have someone else gather it for me and, you know, I can just eat it tomorrow. What happened to the manna? It spoiled. It got worms in it. It didn't taste good. What was God teaching them? You need to feed yourself daily and you need to rely on me for a fresh word, fresh presence, a fresh anointing, a fresh time of worship. Because you know what? Often we feed on Sunday and we go through the whole day and oh, I had a good time in worship on Sunday. Yeah, it was good. That was good. I'll go. Can't wait to worship again next Sunday. That was a good word. You know, Pastor Sherry or, you know, Stuart had a great encouraging word. That was a great testimony to feed on God. I'm going to be obedient and God's going to provide no matter how long it takes. That we were stirred. If you're in a financial need, that stirs your faith. You know, Stuart's awesome, but God doesn't play favorites. If he's going to do that for Stuart, you know, God will do it a different way. Not everybody gets, you know, he was looking for a check in the mail, but God moved through a relationship and even someone that didn't believe like he did. What does that stir your faith for the mysterious ways of how God moves? Now, here, I want to talk about this. All right, so the word manna means, what is it? Manna, remember honeycomb fell from the heaven. They didn't know what it was. They didn't have cereal back then. So they're like, manna? Which means, what is it? And that's what they called it. What is it? I don't know. Just eat it. It's good, you know? All right, now here's a deep thought, okay? God wanted them to rely on him daily for nourishment, for something they didn't really even understand, but they knew it was good for them. Okay. Deuteronomy 8:3, the second part of that says, that he might make you recognize and personally know, personal relationship with God, personally understand him. Ready? To teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Okay. God chose sometimes to feed his people with a mystery. Think about this. Sometimes there are just mysteries in God's word that we don't quite understand. I don't think I have the whole thing figured out. You know, I've been to Bible school and I'm doing an online theology class as well because I'm hungry. Why? Because I'm making myself eat. And I'm realizing I don't know it all. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life like Paul. Paul wrote half the New Testament. He says, I haven't even arrived yet. He had encounters with Jesus, visions. Our whole life, we need to choose to be hungry. And the more we feed on the word, on his faithfulness, we always know there is more. And I'm hungry for more. Sometimes God feeds you with a mystery. There are certain scriptures that we need to study, and there are hard things in the Bible that we might not understand. And honestly, we might not understand this side of heaven. We might not be able to handle that answer until we're in heaven. But his presence is in us asking him hard things. God, why did this happen? It hurts so bad. God, I don't understand the brokenness of this world. Jesus, how can you love that person that did that? How? I don't understand. These are hard questions. Parents, you ever have a kid ask you a hard question? Zeke's not talking. He just says, dad, 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 dee, and eat, eat, eat. So those are our priorities right now. Daddy and eating, okay? But eventually, I told Brad, he's like, he's real smart. He's going to start asking some hard questions. We don't have all the answers, parents. Already, sometimes we do, but we know they're not ready in their, immaturity to get all the details. Come on. Where do babies come from? We're going to work towards that. Let's talk about some birds and the bees. You know, come on. For their age and for their maturity, you know how much they can handle. And a little bit later in their age and their maturity, they can handle sometimes more. And sometimes they just go ask you questions. Bradley, where'd the unicorns go? I don't know. They didn't make it on the ark. No, we're joking. But come on, parents, we don't always have all the answers. But we're so glad they're talking to us. And I want to encourage you in this. Sometimes God feeds you with a mystery. What is it? Manna. Just eat it. It's good for you. And you're going to grow. And the more time you spend just hanging out with him, I'll tell you, answers will start bubbling up in your heart. And sometimes, and guys, I would say this. I have had some, raise your hand if you've had some hard things happen in your life. And you've had some hard questions. Or you've read some really hard scriptures. That doesn't feel good, but it's in there. And I just started talking to the Lord about it. This is actually really how I fell in love with Jesus in college. Had a little amplified Bible, and I had some hard questions because there were a lot of things I didn't like in the church. Be real. A lot of things about religion that had hurt me and hurt people I love that stopped going to church. And I wanted to talk to him about it. Because if I talked to other people about it, they just became skeptics, critics, and I just got unhealthy. I needed to talk to him through his word. Not everything I got an answer on. But some things, he told me what I needed. It's not always what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. Right, parents? And in feeding on sometimes the mysteries and asking hard questions, I really fell in love with Jesus because we got a really good, deep relationship. Right? That's parents, what do we want? We want our children to ask us the hard questions, even when you give them an answer that they don't like. But it builds relationship. I want to encourage you, go spend some time. And like the Berean church, they would search the scriptures. They hungered for answers. Go right to him. Go right to the source. Go right to the word. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10, it says, that is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets, the mysteries. God has mysteries. God has answers. God has things about your life that he wants to show you. And it'll probably scare you a little bit because normally when I ask big questions like, hey, God, what do you want to do this year? How do you want to use me? And normally he shows me something that I'm not wanting or ready to do. Come on, parents. I remember my dad be like, hey, you know, the worst thing is they make me talk to strangers. You ever parent be like, okay, now go hit the checkout line, put your order in at Burger King and order your Whopper. I don't want to do it. And I'm terrible at math, which is my married Brad. So you got to figure out the change, you know, all this stuff back in the day before you had a card. Okay. The more we spend time with him, the more we dig into the word. And digging takes a little effort. It takes some time. The feast takes some time. You go to the beach, You know, the greatest thing when you have nothing to do is you just dig. Anybody ever just go to the beach and just dig a hole? I'm just going to dig a hole till I hit China. I'm just going to go dig a hole, right? I don't know. You talk to a kid, they're excited about it. We're going to dig a hole. This is the beauty of childlike faith. What are you doing? I'm digging. What? And they'll dig from 8 a.m. They'll stop to go, you know, go get a sandwich with sand in it. And then they'll go back to digging. I'm digging. And what? Finally, ready? They just stop because they're tired. And they go eat what? You know, pizza, whatever. And they sit there. And what? And then the water starts to rise up. You ever dig so deep that what? You slowly the water starts bubbling up. That's what it's like hearing from the Lord. Go dig in the word, dig in the mysteries, dig in the manna, dig in the, I don't know what that even means, God. And just sit, hang out with him, pick up your shovel the next day, and the Holy Spirit will start bubbling up answers and mysteries. And like I said, it's not always the answer that you want, but it's what you need. And I'll tell you this, when you seek God, even for hard things, you'll get a greater revelation of who he is, of his character, of his nature, of his heart. Ready for this? Of his ways. And if anything, you know what starts coming? A fullness. I'm just full of his love. And you know that place that really hurt? In the process of me asking those hard questions, and I didn't always get all the answers to, but I got a revelation of who he is, my heart got healed. And I got strengthened. And I got a forgiveness for that person that hurt me. Or ready for this? Sometimes I was like, God, why did they hurt me so bad? Anybody been hurt deeply? Why did they betray me so bad? And I got a lot of answers in that place of just digging, where it stopped becoming about that person that hurt me, but it just started becoming hanging out with God. And I would dig and I would dig, and the Lord would show me certain things about their heart, about some of the traumatic things that they've been through. A lot of people that hurt us, it's not personal, they're just hurting. And I was able to forgive. It didn't say what they did was okay, but there was a healing came in the digging. And I want to encourage you in this. I want to encourage you that the Father God delights and takes great pleasure in the treasure hunt with us. Anybody done an egg hunt? My grandfather's greatest joy was to do the egg hunt. Man, and he would hide the eggs, and what he puts what for the little kids? He put little eggs in the easy places. And for the older kids, the what, mature? Put them in the challenging places, up in the tree, behind the thing, you know? And his greatest joy was to be with us as we discovered things. He's in the journey. He's in the waiting. He's in the discovery. And he's cheering you on. And there's like, I could talk about prophetic gifting and all that stuff, and I'll just say this. There are answers, and there's things that he wants to talk about. And his greatest delight is to watch you discover them with his presence. Matthew 11, 25 through 26. Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those that think themselves wise and clever, the proud, right? And for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleases you to do it this way. The Lord takes great pleasure in the journey of discovery with us. Dig, eat. Even if you're not hungry, dig, eat. His greatest joy is to reveal mysteries to you and, ready for this, the prophetic, through you to other people. But he can only share those things with the humble and the mature. And if you're humble and mature, you're hungry. It is vital to push ourselves to places of hunger for more of God. Because we get refreshed, we get healed, we get strengthened and ready for this. We finally get into a place of overflow that it stops just stopping with us and starts flowing through us. And then the people around us start changing. Our relationships start changing and getting healthy. We get healthy. Ready? If you're healthy, you're hungry. When you're hungry, you're healthy. And when I'm healthy, the relationships with the people around me get healthy. But my spouse is the problem. Well, you're about 50% of that marriage, and you can't change them, so I might as well just get healthy. And things start overflowing. Your kids, your workplace, your neighborhood. Man, you got a bunch of grumpy neighbors. Man, you better start hungering for more of Jesus so you can get something in you that they see that's different. A tangible peace that you walk in. You walk the dog, but you walk in peace. And when you go have that conversation, that peace is so tangible that they just like talking to you because I can sense the peace when I'm around you. After about 3 months, they might ask you, what is that? Like, you know, every time I talk to you, like, and I know your life's hard. You shared your story with me. Life is not easy for you, but you have peace. And my house is just no peace. I'm going to invite myself over to your house. let's have a barbecue at your house because I don't know, just there's peace there. Share your story. Share Jesus. Psalms 107, 1 through 9. This is kind of what I want to end this message and hit some deep places again. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness, his love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Does that mean he changed your life? He bought you back. He set you free. So this is like a question he is asking you. He says, if the Lord's redeemed you, if he's changed your life, if he saved you, if he set you free, then he says, then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. The message says this, tell how he freed you from oppression. Eat, feed on his faithfulness. Even if you're not feeling it, I guarantee God has done something so beautiful and powerful in your life, even if you just had to go think back. And what, stir yourself up by sharing that with someone else. I'm ready for this. When you get around people, ask them their story. Ask them, hey, what's just, you know, I don't get all religious. Wait, what's your story? If they're a Christian, God's going to weave himself into it. Right? Okay. Hey, how'd you meet each other? Wow, you went through that really hard time. Man, how did God save your marriage? Oh my gosh, you lost your house? I knew people that lost their homes and lost businesses. And they shared how they had to fight through the depression and the anxiety and the hopelessness, you know, and they had to fight through that. And they got people on their team. They did some counseling, you know, and they decided to not hole up. They got out and started serving people that had lost far more than they did. And God healed and strengthened their heart and gave them ready fresh vision and a new dream and started a new business. Got their house back, got their life back. And what, to God be all the glory. And you just had to say, what's your story? So when God had freed the Israelites, what, from Egypt, okay, they wandered in the desert. And there was a generation lost because they got so caught up in the complaining and the grumbling because life is hard. Well, life is hard. Read your Bible. Life is hard. It just is what it is. But it's good because God is good and God puts good people in your life, right? All right, so finally that second generation came and they're still kind of, you know, wandering through the desert, but they're learning, you know, hey, we got to trust God. We got to cry out to God. So this is where this picks up. Psalms 107, 4 through 9. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Now, if you read the story, God said this, hey, I'll go before you. And, you know, there's going to be a promised land and it's going to be full of what? Vineyards and orchards and cities. And I'm going to drive out your enemies. That was his promise. I'm going to do it with you, but we're going to drive out your enemies. Okay. So they were going to walk into a place that was established, but unhealthy because unhealthy people were running it. And he was going to give them something to make it healthy and give God glory. Right. All right. He says, so they're wandering and they're not finding a place to dwell. There was no city to dwell. And they are what? Hungry and they are thirsty. And it says their soul fainted in them. That means their heart, their your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart is crying out. I'm hungry. It says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. God, I am hungry and you are my source. And he delivered them out of their distresses and he led them forth by the right way. The right way. There's a wrong way. There's a right way. That they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. God values what? Hunger with humility. Humility, total trust and confidence in God. I need you. That's faith. Faith is confidence in God. I need you. That's humility. I hunger. Hunger is a place of dependency. I need you. Did you know you can have all the stuff and all your needs met, but you realize on the inside, I'm still fighting depression. I need Jesus. Because the answer is not in the stuff. The answer is not in the comforts. In fact, some of the most wealthy people in the world are the saddest, most lonely people in the world. They've even been known to take their own lives, right? So the satisfaction and the fullness doesn't come from the stuff. I need you, Jesus. Isaiah 29, verse 8, New American Standard Bible, I think. It says, it will be as when a hungry person dreams. When a hungry person dreams, behold, he is eating. Okay, it's a little bit of like my left field thing here, okay? Hungry people dream, and when they dream, they're dreaming about food and they're eating, okay? Hunger causes people to dream. I think a lot of people, we've been through some hard couple years. That pandemic was really hard. We've lost people. We've lost businesses, homes. I think a lot of people lost their dreams. They lost the ability to dream. And hunger releases dreams. I hunger. When I hunger for him, he starts instilling and stirring dreams and passion and purposes and vision and refreshing in me. He starts restoring a drive first for more of him. And wherever Jesus went, the world changed, right? Wherever Jesus went, when there were hungry people got fed. Wherever Jesus went and there were broken people that were downtrodden by society, it says, you're not good enough. You're a prostitute. You're not worth anything. You're trash. And Jesus goes, but I love you and this isn't who you are. Rise up, follow me. Go and sin no more and you'll become the greatest evangelist in your city. And God get all the glory. If you have lost your passion or your desire for more, just eat. Just fill up your plate. And I'll tell you, you need to fill up some of your things with not just, it's the word of God, but sometimes you just need to get around some people to share their story and it inspires you for more. God, you moved in their life. God, you saved, you healed them. God, man, the cancer's gone. God, you know what? They lost their house, but you gave them a new one. God, their child came home. And it stirs you for more. You got to eat. You got to feed on his faithfulness. You got to feed on the word. You got to get around people that are hungry too. And there's just, when you get hungry for God and his presence and more, he starts stirring your heart with dreams and visions for more. More of him, and he starts working more through you. Remember I said this? Now, the greatest challenge is when he fills us with healing and love and peace and joy and healthy relationships. What? The challenge is now, what? I'm full, but I now still have to remain hungry. Church, I know some people in here that are filled with God's word, filled with the presence, filled with wisdom, love, joy, and peace. But sometimes that they're just satisfied with that. And God says, you got to get hungry for more. More of him, more of his word, and ready for this, more people to take with you so they can discover what that life is like. I want to hit kind of a closing thought on this one. Psalms 40, verses 16 through 17. It says, may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. David wrote this. David, King David. He went through some hard times, and man, like, it was tough in his teenage years, and by age 30, he was king, and things were just starting to come together. And he maintained a life of fullness and success, but hunger. And this is how he did it. May all who search for you, be filled with joy and gladness. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord be magnified, be glorified, God. I search you, God, be glorified. I search for you. And it says, as for me, this is David talking, since I am, ready, poor and needy, blessed are the poor in spirit. That just means I need God. I'm humble. I need you, Jesus. It doesn't matter. He's so successful. He's a king. He's got wealth and riches and influence and success. It's not enough. It's just junk food. I need you. Let the Lord keep me in his sights. You are my helper and my savior. So David lived this really blessed, full life. Man, listen, you follow God, God will take care of you. It doesn't mean life's not going to be easy. I mean, you're right to start, it was hard. But when you get to a place of fullness, man, when you get your house paid off, you know, and you get to a place of like, yeah, my marriage is stable and we're doing good. Or you get to a place where all your kids are serving God. Don't get full and stop being hungry. Make yourself eat. And just say, I need more. Philippians chapter 3, 9 through 10 says, my determined purpose is that I might be found in you, that I might know you in a deeper way. It's really profound. Go back and read Philippians 3. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go into it. But it says, your purpose is just to know him and become more progressively known by him in his heart. That's what our purpose is. So God promises to bless his people and take care of us, but how much blessing is too much? You know, for some people it's, you know, $4 million and other people it's $400. It's not about the number. It's about where your trust lies. Whatever amount of stuff, things, money, relationships that makes us stop trusting in him and needing him. Now we got to a point of, hold on, I think I have an idol. It doesn't mean you get rid of, you know, you don't get rid of people. You adjust the priorities in your life where I need you, Jesus. You can be very full. David was very full, but he needed the Lord and the Lord blessed him with great influence because he remained hungry. So this is my closing thought. So remember Psalms 107, it says, remember they were hungry and they were thirsty and they were looking for a place to dwell. And then what? God gave them a city. Psalms 107 verse 36, it says, there he makes the hungry dwell that they may establish a city for a dwelling place. You guys can stand up and I just want to give you this thought. We're going to pray. When you are hungry, I'm full of the goodness of God. I'm full of his heart fills me. He has healed my heart. He has given me purpose. He has restored things and people and relationships in my life. I'm full of him and his goodness. He's been so good to me. But I choose to stay hungry. I choose to eat and feed on his faithfulness, feed on the word, feed on his presence, feed on his worship, feed on healthy fellowship and relationships. I am choosing, because what you feed on is what you hunger for. I'm going to feed on the more. It says this, that he will cause you to dwell in cities. Now, why does God want you? Why does God want to give you, now this is interesting, a place of influence? Because he wants what? Remember, it drove out all the unhealthy. And God says, hey, here's orchards, here's vineyards, here's cities. Now I want you to what? Dwell in the land and represent him and that the Lord be glorified. And ready for this? Reestablish these cities where the DNA of your city, your school, your neighborhood, your community, your friends, the systems of society, the educational system, right, Ange? We need God to move in our educational system. And he wants the hungry to go into those places and dwell. That the DNA of those places, those systems, those people groups, that areas of society would change for the glory of God. That the character and nature of Jesus, not what you can get. Guys, he wants our economy. He wants local businesses to change how they do business. So God be glorified. And what? He's going to give it to the hungry. He's going to give it to the hungry because I want need Jesus to do it. And then he gets all the glory. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you. And God, I just humble myself in front of them saying, man, my life was so full of they were good things, but man, God, I got to get in a new season where I have to just trim out some things and reprioritize, Lord. And I'm going to choose to eat. And I'm choose to hunger for more of you because I just need you. I need more of your word and a revelation of your heart. God, I want more of the what is it, man of mysteries, Lord. I'm hungry, and Lord, more than importantly, I want fresh vision and passion and dreams to stir in my heart so York County, York City changes, so our educational system changes, so the neighborhood kids and families in my neighborhood change, Lord God, so our educational system changes, our local economy changes, Lord God, God, that our government would change, that my family would change. And it's because you send the hungry to reestablish these places, these systems, these societies, Lord God. They would get healthy and you be glorified.